Life is beautiful. Life is wondrous. Every star above shining just for us. Life is beautiful. On a stormy night, somewhere in the world, sun is shining bright.
Hey, welcome to Your Life Unlimited. It's Stephanie Staples, and life is indeed beautiful. The holidays are amongst us, and we are bringing you a little bit of inspiration, a few ideas, and some tools for better living. So I hope you can stay tuned with us. I'm so excited because I have captured Toronto speaker Charles Marcus in the studio. He's the author of Success is Not a Spectator Sport, How to Take Action and Achieve More, and I've been a fan of his for a long time. So I'm excited to introduce you to him today. I want to give you a few ideas for better living right off the hop. Actually, I want to tell you the fit tip, because with the holidays coming up and all the food and such, the only one idea I want you to try, one thing, because, you know, we can't do everything, but we could do one thing. So what if you ate whatever you wanted to eat, but when you were eating, you just did nothing else but ate? So you know what I mean? So you're not on the computer, you're not reading a magazine, you're not reading a book, you're not watching TV. You can still eat whatever you want to eat, but don't do anything else but eat. Because what happens is your body notices when it's full in just a split second of time. And if we're doing other things, we miss that point of, oh, I'm actually full. So that's my encouragement for you to get through the holidays. Eat what you want, but just eat. Don't be doing anything else. That's the fit tip, and it's brought to you by Vivacity Fitness, 561 St. Anne's Road. If you are ready to start your new year off with a bang, check them out. Cassie at Vivacity Fitness is fabulous. Also, I want to give you the update on the Love Everywhere project. You know we've passed the 365-day mark, so it's been quite an amazing project. It's past a year long, and now it's going to be a lifetime long. But one of the things that happened recently that I want to share with you is that one of my friends gave me her blueberries. Now, they weren't just regular blueberries. They were hand-picked blueberries from the lake in the summer. And the reason this was so important is because I know how much she loves those blueberries. And she gave me a big bag of frozen ones, and I know how rare they are because she can't get any more until next August. And so why I thought this was so important is that often we're giving away things, right? We're giving away things we don't want. We're giving away things we don't need. We're giving away things that we don't care about anymore. But it's so much more meaningful to give away something that still is meaningful to us, that still is good, that still is in top shape. And if you've ever said, oh, that's too good to give away, well, rethink that. And as you're going to be bringing in a whole bunch of more junk into your house in the next week or so, think about what kind of good things you have there that you can get rid of, that you can purge yourself of, that somebody else can help them, that your stuff can help them with. So that's my encouragement for you. That was the inspiration enough for the Love Everywhere project this week. It was about blueberries, but it was about way more than blueberries. So when we come back, we're going to be talking to Charles Marcus, and we're going to be talking about success, and we're going to be talking also about a little bit about willpower for your tip of the week. So stay tuned. Lots more to come on Your Life Unlimited. Welcome back to the show. I want to send a big shout out to Tiber River, 408 Academy, 1650 Keniston Road. If you got some last minute shopping to do, that will make your life very, very easy. Check them out, tiberriver.ca. Even their website smells yummy. I am excited to be in the studio with one of my heroes, and it's Charles Marcus. And if you don't know about him, well, you should. Check out cmarcus.com. He's the author of Success is Not a Spectator Sport and an upcoming book called
How to Win the Heart and the Mind and Loyalty of Your Customers and Customer Service.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, that sounds exciting, but we're not talking about customer service. Right. Today we're talking
absolutely,
about success.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's great to be here with you, Stephanie.
Thank
a
you.
Real pleasure.
It's been a few years. We did this a few years back, but we had you on the telephone, so it's great to be able to look into your shining eyes. Now, Charles, I don't know if you know that I've been a fan for a long time. You probably do, but because we met at the Canadian Association of Professional Speakers. I was a rookie way back then.
Right.
But I think I was kind of assigned to pick you up and take you to the airport and such.
I remember that, yes.
I wasn't assigned. I volunteered, which is a good lesson for other people. You know, I think they think when speakers or other people come into town that nobody wants to, you know, you can't bother them. But what a great idea to just offer to pick people up or offer to take them, you know, to dinner. Maybe they can go, maybe they can't. but it's nice to be offered.
Sure, it's nice. And you know, Stephanie, when I started speaking, I did exactly the same as you when I was in Toronto. And when I started my sales career many, many years ago, I did the same. I was like a rookie salesperson, and I wanted to hang out with the people who were at the top of the tree. I wanted to learn from them and ask questions.
Sure. So and if you get a no, well, don't take it personally. Just ask again another time. But sometimes, you know, we're in a town where we don't know anybody. It'd be nice to go out for dinner with somebody.
Absolutely. When I travel all over the place, I always like to, if possible, to be able to go out for a drink or for dinner with somebody. It's amazing that I usually find, you know, so many people are fascinating, really, really fascinating. And especially if you make it, instead of talking all about, you know, yourself, and you make it about them.
Absolutely. Well, you know what, actually, that you write about that in your book, about how to have effective conversations. And you have some, actually, ideas about that, because I was reading about them today.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
So one of the things that I know you wrote, ask three questions.
Right. Ask three questions, and, you know, always make the questions always about, the other person. Also, I always say, speak for 20% of the time and listen intently for 80% of the time. Very hard out for a lot of people to do. And I really try, myself included, every time I have a conversation, make it about the other person. And another thing, I always say, if you want to sort of impress somebody, talk about yourself. If you want to influence somebody, speak about them. Make it about the other person. Hugely important today.
They'll think you're brilliant.
So I always say, speaking for most of us, it comes very easy. And listening is really by understanding. I think everybody can really talk. However, how many people can truly listen, really engage, and your eye contact? I think communication skills today, verbally and non-verbally, are greatly overlooked, because we're in an I society. Everybody is all about themselves. And I think when you take a step and you make it about, again, I'm repeating myself, you make it always about the other person. Huge difference. Got to be authentic. Has to be authentic and natural. Very impactful.
Well, and it's a win-win, because when I'm talking, I already know what I'm going to say, right? But when you're talking, I don't know what you're going to say. So I have an opportunity to learn and to grow, and then maybe to share that with somebody else. So it's a win-win.
And I think communication skills as well, a lot of us, you know, I mean, it's human nature. You know, sometimes you notice, maybe you and your listeners as well, they're having a conversation with somebody. You know, the other person is just waiting for you to either take a breath so they can get. And the final thing I would say with communication skills, I don't have a choice. As I use a technique, and we'll get into my story and things. However, the power of the pause when somebody is speaking, if you just maybe half a second, and you just take it all in and let that other person, that is powerful.
Yeah, we get too freaked out, I think, by a little bit of silence. As soon as we feel silence, we're like, oh, we must fill it in. But it's not the worst thing in the world. A little bit of silence is good.
Oh, silence is good. Silence is good in business as well sometimes, when somebody asks you your price or your cost, and just that silence on the telephone. You tell them your price, whatever it is, and then you just shut up. I always say the first one to talk loses.
I was just thinking, my husband would definitely think silence is very important.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And also about the last word. Like, we always seem to want to have the last word, right?
Right. And I say in the book as well, I say when you are speaking on the telephone or having a conversation, always to give the other person the last word. And you know, also, it's just a little thing. When you're hanging up on the telephone, let them hang up first. excuse me, and to click off. A small thing, very, very, very powerful.
You know what? That's interesting because I have a bad habit of kind of taking, my husband makes fun of me because I say goodbye as I'm putting the phone down, and sometimes I can still hear them.
Right.
Right. Okay.
It's just a little, you know, sometimes those small little things are very important.
Well, you know, Charles, you have an interesting story about your career and how you got to this place. And I think that people would be very surprised as a professional speaker about your background. So let's have the Coles Notes version.
Well, I talk about it in the book. And of course, when I speak a lot about it all over the globe and things, and I guess the gist of the story is when I was 4 and a half. I'm originally from England, as your listeners can probably tell, out from Manchester, the north of England. And when I was 4, I was lost and separated in a national forest from my father and mother for about 16 hours, lost in this forest. They couldn't find me. There was a fog. I'd fell over. I'd hit my head. And after the rescuers found me, obviously the shock and the trauma of that event, it started, you know, it started to have like a low self-esteem and a fear. And it developed over a very short period of time. I believe I was only 4, 4 and a half. I don't remember a lot. Into, we used to call it in England a stammer. And in North America, it's called a stutter, a speech impediment, a really bad, bad stutter. And that went on, you know, for 25, 30 years and really impacted, affected me in many, many, many ways. And I say in the book as well, I think, Stephanie, if I'm really honest out with myself, sure, I had a disability. A lot of people have problems and things, but I think the crux of the matter is I never had the courage to really want to do something about my speech. And it pains me to say that. It's not a nice thing to say. However, when I reflect, I think I was always playing the victim instead of the victor I wanted to be. I use a phrase, I was always the prisoner of the past instead of my architect of my future. Always woe is me, you know, if only I had a level playing field. However, it was not a pleasant experience, obviously, you know, because people do prejudge you. And unfortunately, your communication skills, when you're stuttering, people perceive if you're not able to speak and there's something seriously wrong, you know. And for many years, it was a problem. However, I was very, very lucky. I was able to go into a career, the hair industry, which was an industry that really welcomed me. I didn't have to speak a lot in that industry.
You know what? I mean, I think not everyone obviously has stuttering problems, but everybody has something, right, that we use as an excuse, as an obstacle, that we, if we have that excuse, we don't have to do the next thing. So I think we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about some tools that you use to get past that and maybe what other people can implement into their lives to get past their obstacle. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. It's Stephanie Staples with your quick tip of the week. What could you do if you had more willpower? Perhaps even better, what could you not do? To strengthen your willpower, you need a plan B. To start off, think of your goal in as much detail as possible. See it, feel it. Me, I want to get into my jeans. Now, think of, or even better, jot down the obstacles that are bound to get in the way of you reaching your goal. For me, it's late night eating. Okay, now it's time to come up with a plan B for how you're going to handle the situations that will keep you on track with that bigger goal. For me, it's to prepare healthy snacks and to change up my routine. Researchers found that the test groups who thought through the scenarios on how to handle them were much more likely to stick to their goals than the group of people who didn't think through a plan B. It's pretty easy. Remember, we're working on foregoing the short-term satisfaction in favor of long-term gains. And every time you act on your plan B, you're strengthening your willpower. Good for you. We are in the studio with Charles Marcus. He is the author of Success is Not a Spectator Sport. Charles, it's a fun title. It's a fun book, a nice, easy read, lots of quick, easy tools. How did you come up with the concept for the book? Are you a sports nut?
Well, I tell you, I did a bit of brainstorming, my wife, some friends and things. It's like an oxymoron. Success is not a spectator sport, and the gist of the title is, I think in life, if you want to be like in the game and successful, you really have to be a spectator. You have to be a participant. If you're on the sidelines and you're really watching all life is going by you, and if, you know, so I thought sort of success is not a spectator sport. You have to get in the game and you have to play your biggest game every day. You have to be a participant, you have to be a player. If you're on the sidelines, you're just watching life go by.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
So what's interesting to me also is that you keep hitting these milestones. So what happens, like even with your stuttering, what happened to make you decide, I have to do something about this, I have to take charge of my life?
Great question. You know, I'd love to have a lovely answer for you. My life was spinning out of control. I mean, it really, really was. I was very successful as far as, you know, I owned hair salons and things in the business world. My life was just a nightmare. And I was using so many sort of ways, devices to try to keep my speech in check and things. It just got way, way out of control. And I reached a point, and I'm sure your listeners, all of us have reached a point in our lives you just got to do something about it. And that's what I had to do. And I had to dig down. And I talk about four principles. First principle is vision. Second principle is courage. Third principle is responsibility. Fourth principle is commitment. And I finally found those four principles. I dug down really deep after 25, 30 years. And I decided to, you know, to seek the help I needed.
So this can apply to anybody, whether it's food or smoking or bad relationships or work.
Absolutely. And you know, Stephanie, I say the four hardest words in the English language are to say to people, I need your help. And if you reach out to people, I believe strongly 90% of people in this world are good people, And you reach out to people and ask them for their help, and most people will help you. However, firstly, what you have to do is you have to want to help yourself. Many people talk a good game. Few people play a good game.
Well, that reminds me of priorities, right? A lot of us are preaching what our priorities are. But when you're looking at your calendar, looking at your schedule, you're not living it. Are you sure that's your priorities? That's what you're talking about. But it's not what we're seeing.
Right. And that, so as I say, many people who say maybe one thing and they're doing another thing. I think today a word it's used a lot is authenticity. And I really believe authenticity is, you know, you really got to walk the talk.
So if you've come to that spot where you know, okay, I need help, did you know where to go? Did you know what you were going to do? Did you know how it was going to end up? Or did you just kind of lean into that area and...
I think another word that everybody has to use, no matter what the problem situation is, you got to research things. And today with the internet, you know, so many things and just ask. And for me, I was obviously pre-internet, you know, and computer. I'm dating myself here. And I reached out to speech therapists. I reached out to other people. I went on a course, a very unorthodox speech course, and so many, you know, self-help into being healthy, yoga, that sort of. I completely changed my whole mindset. I think the number one thing for me, it was belief. It was changing my mindset and believing I could actually, finally, I could do something. There's no cure for stuttering. And I just wanted to be able
but
to control my speech.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I do have to work on it. However, you know, the thing is, I control my speech today instead of my speech controlling me. Stuttering, Stephanie, is a worthy opponent.
I can only imagine. I can also only imagine what kids who knew you in school when you had that problem.
Right.
And now this is so ironic that you speak globally for a living.
It's funny, when I return to England, I mean, I've lived in this super country of Canada for 26 years. However, when I return to England and all my, my school friends and my family, I guess I'm like a bit of a rock star even amongst my family. It's sort of very cool to go back. You know, it's nice.
Yeah, and it's inspiring to other people, because if you could do this and then become that,
right.
Well, you know, people...
I think, though, the biggest, like, the compliment that everybody I was over in England about 6 months ago, and no matter what anybody says... it's that I'm still the same. I've always tried to maintain out to be very, very humble and never change who you are and where you came from.
Sounds like a noble goal for sure.
Yes.
We were so excited to have you at Mo Mondays at our 1 year anniversary special. That's the first time we've imported a speaker for that. But thank you so much for raising.
Oh, it was fantastic. What a night. What a night. Wow.
Thank you for raising the stage.
Oh, it was I was honored. I was honored. The other presenters, everybody was amazing. It was quite a night.
Our next one is January 2nd. If you're interested, check out the website yourlifeunlimited.ca for tickets. January 6th is the next Mo Mondays. We're back in a moment with Your Life Unlimited. Welcome back to Your Life Unlimited. I want to send a big shout out to First Impressions Hair and Skin Team, 1631 St. Mary's. They always keep you looking and feeling great. If you like what you're hearing, visit the website yourlifeunlimited.ca. We got videos, we got articles, we got lots of good stuff for you there, all FREE free. And if we're lucky, maybe we can talk Charles into putting a guest blog or something up there. We'll put links to his website and all that. Did I put pressure on you there all of a sudden, Charles?
Oh, big pressure. Big pressure.
You've got so much great information to share, too. cmarcus.com is Charles' website. And pick up his book. It's called Success is Not a Spectator Sport. So you're speaking all over the world. What's the biggest obstacle you hear from your audiences, the biggest thing stopping them from their version of success?
Oh, I think actually belief. I really do. I think belief. I think people are just overwhelmed and instead of focusing on themselves, is really comparing themselves to other people. And the first thing you have to do, you have to blot out other people. You just got to focus on yourself, and you have to believe. I believe you should take also, as I say to people, you know, everybody wants to climb the mountain. Everybody wants to do this. However, people have to realize they have to start off somewhere. I mean, when I decided I wanted to finally to control my stuttering, I mean, you know, you got to take baby steps. You got to have a vision. You got to have dreams. You've got to have a plan of action. You got to have all this stuff. And I think so many people get overwhelmed if things are not sort of instantaneously happening. And then they get very, you know, disillusioned and depressed and negative. So I always say, I know it's not easy. You can't allow yourself negative thoughts today. It's toxic. You can't allow it.
I think about breaking those goals down. People say, I have to lose 50 pounds. No, you just have to lose 1 pound. You don't need to run a marathon. You just need to walk around the block. We just have to do one thing, because it's about what it says in between your ears. It's like, okay, I can do this. I'm becoming a little more fit. I'm becoming a little more healthy. I'm becoming a little more happy. One little thing that you can do to be happier or healthier.
Slowly but surely, that's what you should do. However, goals are important. However, realistic. I've always taken baby steps. I've had my long-term, short-term, and what I do, I write things down. I always, you know, I use a quote, Brian Tracy, goals in writing are dreams with deadlines.
Exactly. So what's a long-term goal to you? What would that be? Like in an amount of time, I mean.
So my next one, I told you in the car, I want to go out to Tanzania in 2015, out to Kilimanjaro and to climb it. And so I'm already planning a year and a half out. Is the operator I want to do, the route I want to climb, the best way to get there, how I'm going to train for it, the gear I need, all the information. I'm starting out way, 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 way ahead. It drives my wife, you know, crazy. I'm like a very attention to detail guy. I think you really have to have a plan. You have to have a plan of action. Got to do your research. So my goal is February the 18th, 2015. I'm going to climb the mountain, and then I have to put all the plan of action around it. Similar a few years ago, I wanted to run a marathon. You know, you had to put a plan of action. You have to get a team together. Things never happen easily or by themselves. You really have to do the homework.
I like the idea of the long-term goal, too, because I think that you get kind of more for your money's worth, right? If you just all of a sudden go and do it, poof, it's gone. But you've got a whole year to plan it and to, I don't know, to feel it, like a vacation coming up, sort of, you know, because it's exciting.
Planning's fantastic. And today with the internet and all these resources and blogs and things, I find it absolutely fascinating. I find it fascinating because I spend a lot of time in airports. I get lots of time to do those sort of things.
So for you, a long-term goal is about a year away, approximately.
A year and a half away. I have all goals for business and things. However, you're asking me, you know, at this time. And I would say for business, I mean, I'm coming, you know, into the new year soon and things. And what I have to do, really have to put all my plans
So what about a short-term goal? What length of time would you give that?
A month, six weeks. Yeah, I would say a month, 6 weeks.
Okay.
I may sometimes a week or 2 weeks. However, I try for a month at least.
Okay. So what's exciting in your world right now? What are you working on short-term?
Short-term, going to start to write the book. Going to start to write the new, like, they have the book. I'm going to have to put it into place. Another thing is I'm planning a few changes in my office. As I said to you, I've been able to, in the last maybe year, I've lost over 23 pounds in weight.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm not going to put it back on.
So what happened there? What happened to make you do that?
I didn't like the way I looked. Okay. I didn't like my trousers not fitting me, and I was out of shape and out of...
So how much better do you feel now?
Oh, a million percent, million percent. I feel great.
What does your wife do with you and all your energy?
She's away a lot and I'm away a lot. We don't see each other that much. Maybe one of the reasons we have such a good marriage for 18 years.
That's funny. So what do you think the biggest takeaway for your audience is? What's the biggest takeaway for them when they hear your message?
Oh, I hate to talk about myself. However, I think the feedback I hear... time and time again is if you were able to overcome your stuttering and I'm able to overcome everybody's got a story, everybody's got the situation, and the biggest privilege and honor is when people say you inspired me, you impacted me, and you gave me maybe one or two ideas or insights that I can use in my own life. And very powerful.
And every single one of us has that ability to inspire somebody else with our actions. So keep doing it. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. If you've been liking what you're hearing, please visit yourlifeunlimited.ca. If you're on Facebook, check me out, Stephanie Staples. And if you want to follow the Love Everywhere Project, it is facebook.com/loveeverywhereproject. I've had a fun time in the studio talking with Charles Marcus. He's the author of Success is Not a Spectator Sport. Charles, if there was just one thing you could tell people to help them get to their version of success, what would that be?
Stephanie, I think the one thing, if you want me to boil it down, is many people can help you along the way. However, ultimately, you have to do it yourself. You've got to have that belief. You've got to have desire. You've got to have focus, discipline, and consistency.
People are always looking for an easy way out. That did not sound easy, but it is the only way. Take responsibility.
There is no easy way, no. Stephanie.
You just got to do the work.
There's no easy way. If there was an easy way, everybody would be doing. Simplify it, though, as we said earlier. Break it down. Believe in yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge. You can find us at yourlifeunlimited.ca. Merry Christmas to you. It's Stephanie Staples encouraging you to live your life unlimited.